Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is the second hour on Monday. Woo. So shout out to all of the people listening to all over the state and Richland Center and Wisconsin Rapids,
Amory.
And Stevens Point, Amory, Wausau, Waukesha, Madison tonight. And, you know, sometimes when we bring guests on, it correlates to whatever observance that day is, and it's kind of kitschy, but it's a fun excuse to talk to people. And then sometimes we bring people on for no reason at all besides we think it's going to be interesting. And so today is that is an example of what we're doing today. And so our guest for the next half hour is PJ Leash, who is also known as the Wisconsin Bug Guy. He is an extension entomologist and the director of the Wisconsin University of Wisconsin Insect Diagnostic Lab. PJ, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And so you and Jane go way back, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Although I've never actually seen Jane and know what she looks like. But we've talked on the phone plenty of times over the last probably 8-9 years or so.
Many, many years. PJ is just, you're such a wonderful resource, PJ. And you always manage to talk me off the ledge when there's a new bug that's going to come and kill us all. So we'll get to that later.
Yes, we will get to that because I have heard there is a kill order on a bug on the East Coast that I want to get your impression on. But so I guess your accent makes me think you grew up in Wisconsin.
I did, yeah. I grew up in Racine County, a little farm town called Franksville, which is pretty close to the Milwaukee county line. Franksville, if you know one thing about it, it's known for sauerkraut. Which is, you know, that's about the most Wisconsin thing you can get. So I grew up there, went to UW-Parkside for college, and then early 2000s, I got linked up with a colleague in the department here at UW-Madison, came here for graduate school, and I've been around ever since.
So has it always been bugs? Has that always been a fascination? Or was it something that you found later in life?
Kind of. I'd say a little bit of both. So where I grew up, we grew up next to a dairy farm, had a big yard with a farm pond. And when I was growing up, every day during the summer was like go out and catch frogs and toads and salamanders and fireflies and stuff like that. But across the street from where I grew up, there was an exotic animal farm. So every day I'd open my window shades and see like camels out my bedroom window or a zebra, or you'd hear a lion roaring when we're outside as kids playing. And so because of that, I think it just really got me into being interested in animals and biology and in general. So I know there's statistics out there for when you go to college, you're going to change your major, I don't know, 5 or 7 times. I knew from day one I wanted to do biology when I started college. And then it's kind of along there. I was interested in insects, but back in the early 2000s, the invasive emerald ash borer was starting to wreak havoc in parts of Michigan, like Detroit area. And so I got connected with a professor here at UW-Madison who was starting to do some surveying for it. We had not found emerald ash borer in the state yet, but he had some funds. And so I worked for 2 summers doing some surveying of ash trees in southeastern Wisconsin, primarily. That got my foot in my door. So I tell folks emerald ash borer was my gateway bug. That got me into entomology. I came and did a graduate degree studying June bugs, actually, and then started working in the department after that. And about 9 years ago, I transitioned over into my current role as director of the diagnostic lab here.
So first, we're talking to PJ Leash, who is also known as the Wisconsin Bug Guy, because he is an entomologist at the University of Wisconsin. And so what is it about bugs? Because as you said, so you knew that you wanted to do biology, and then because you loved animals. But what was it specifically when you did the ash bug?
Emerald ash borer.
Ash borer. What was the fascinating part about bugs that you're like, this is the direction I'm going to head?
I think part of it was just seeing how much they really impact our everyday lives. Although I chat a lot with the general public, and sometimes folks don't realize all the things that insects do. And you start learning about it and just learning the diversity of insects, and it's mind-boggling. As an example, if we made a list of all the animals known to science, you know, it's going to have well over 1 million things on it. About numerically speaking, one out of every four animals on the planet is some species of beetle. Like, there's just so many beetles that it's mind-boggling. They are by far the largest group of insects out there. And because they are so abundant and so diverse, they impact our lives in a lot of ways that folks just don't even think about.
PJ, we are vastly outnumbered by bugs, humans.
Oh, yes.
I mean, yes. Just vastly.
Yeah. I saw a news report recently, and it was talking about, I think it was ants, and it gave the number of ants estimated on the planet, and it was some obscenely large number. Like, it was millions, billions, trillions. It was even beyond that. I don't know off the top of my head what comes beyond trillions, but it was in that range, just the sheer number of ants out there.
Well, and it's also interesting because I'm not a spider killer. Like, if I see a spider in our house, I usually default to thinking, you know, they're going to eat the other bugs. They don't harm me. I'm also not scared of them. Now, if it's a fruit fly, I will certainly try it. I will spend way too much time hunting down a single fruit fly to kill in my house than I do with spiders. And so when it comes to the spiders and insects that we find in our house and in our space, are there some that you should leave alone because of their role in the food chain? And is there some that you, like, free to kill?
Well, that's a really good question. And that's part of my job, is in a way to kind of serve as an ambassador for insects and related creatures like spiders. And as you just mentioned, Kristen, spiders in general, they get a lot of bad rap, but really they're pretty beneficial, helping us out. And so if you don't squish them, you know, they're probably feeding on something else around your house. Every situation is a little bit unique, though. And I totally understand the point that sometimes you need to draw the line and do something about it. And that's a part of my job, is communicating that to folks. First, we identify what it is, have this conversation, you know, what are they doing? Are they actually causing a problem? Or are they just being a minor nuisance? And figure out, you know, how heavy of a hammer might be needed, if one is needed at all. So there's certainly situations where if you have fruit flies around your kitchen, you know, that can be an indicator of something going on, and we can have conversations about what to do. And sometimes I have to talk folks down from that ledge of, you don't need to fumigate your entire house. Like, let's go find that one bad apple and get rid of that.
Throw it away.
And can correct the problem for you.
And can we all agree, PJ, that using a flamethrower or any kind of torch in your home to get rid of bugs is generally not a good idea?
Yeah, I'd probably just include a blanket statement. That's probably never going to be a good idea for anything. If you go online and search for news articles along those lines, there are situations that pop up every single year. Someone maybe has bed bugs in their home, and they decide to spray rubbing alcohol around their house to try and kill the bed bugs, and then the heater kicks on and boom, you know, apartment building burns down and stuff like that. So there are situations, and again, that's kind of part of my job, is helping provide some advice in terms of the pest management and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So flamethrowers, no, not indoors.
Who just randomly has a flamethrower, by the way?
I don't know. Could be your neighbor. You never know.
So I feel like this year, this past summer, as we're winding down, less bugs than normal. Is that just an anecdotal observation, or was that actually true?
To a certain extent, that was true. This year has been a little bit odd for me at the diagnostic lab. And just to give you some background, so in the span of a year, I probably get about 2,500 or so ID requests where someone will just email me, what is this? That sort of question. And I had a lot of emails coming in along the lines of, you know, why aren't we seeing this insect or that one? Part of it, I think, is the weather patterns we've had the last year and a half, especially most parts of the state. 2021 were horribly dry and droughty. That really carried over, though, into 2022. There's a website called the U.S. Drought Monitor where it has color-coded maps, and you can see how dry things are, essentially. Southeastern Wisconsin, for example, until just the last couple of weeks, was still running very, very dry. It's kind of caught up with some of the rain we've gotten in the last month. But also on that map, you go towards like the Twin Cities area and up by Bayfield and Douglas counties, still running pretty dry up there. Insects in general are going to need moisture. That's one of the biggest concerns an insect would face on a given day is, do I have enough moisture that I'm not going to dry out and die? And so if we have very dry years, that's going to impact them as well. Certainly with things like mosquitoes, which can be very obvious, it has a very visible impact on creatures like that.
Well, and I think that's exactly what most people in Wisconsin, I think, complain about in the summer is our bird-like mosquitoes. And I didn't camp a ton. And I do know that Milwaukee is different than Madison, since Madison's basically a swamp. And so the mosquitoes in Madison always were a little bit more aggressive than I feel like they are in Milwaukee. But even when we went camping, I felt like this was not as bad, which I think in the moment you think is a good thing because you're not being bugged by mosquitoes. But with knowing that it's largely because of a drought, is there bigger things we should be worried about if the first sign of less bugs is what we're seeing?
Well, yeah, that's a really good topic and question. I mean, if insects are declining in general, and there is evidence that there's global insect declines that are going on. It's always hard to gauge, like, how big is the decline and so on. But if insects start declining, then all the creatures that feed on insects and rely on them as food, migratory songbirds and things like that, that's going to have some effect down the line. So when we start thinking about insect declines, it's not just that we're not going to see as many butterflies. It has impacts on plenty of other things out there, too.
All right. Well, we're talking to PJ Leash, who is the Wisconsin bug guy because he is a entomologist and he is the director of the University of Wisconsin Insect Diagnostic Lab. He's going to be with us when we come back from the break because I have some questions around any new species that we should be either aware of or concerned about, and maybe some of the more interesting bugs that you find the most fascinating. So stick with us through the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Crickets.
I was wondering if that's why you picked that song.
It's called Crickets. I had more fun looking for music for PJ. It was a blast.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is PJ Leash, who's also known as the Wisconsin Bug Guy. He is the director of the University of Wisconsin Insect Diagnostic Lab, and he's talking to us about bugs. So I saw this a couple times on social media. One was one of my girlfriends asking about her soft spot for the lanternfly, which I had not heard of. And then almost immediately after I saw her talking about not wanting to kill these things, I saw another post from like Vox saying, if you see a spotted lanternfly, kill it immediately and without hesitation. So what is going on the East Coast with these lanternflies?
Yeah, so these spotted lantern flies are an invasive species. And what's really surprising to me through my lab here on the UW campus, in a given year, I probably see 2 to 3 new invasive insects show up in Wisconsin. So over the course of a decade, that's 20 to 30 new species. Sometimes they just show up completely out of the blue. Spotted lanternfly is one that we know it's coming in our direction. So it showed up in eastern Pennsylvania about 2014. It has really built up in that part of the country, and it's moving westward. Just this summer, we've had some reports in Detroit area. There's a population there. We had a couple of them spotted smack dab in the middle of Iowa, and there's also some reports in Indiana. So it's very quickly moving westward, probably going to show up in Wisconsin. Wouldn't surprise me if it was in the next couple of years. And they can feed on a lot of different types of trees. And basically what these insects do, and by the way, they look kind of like cicadas to a certain extent. Like, they're good size. They're about an inch long as adults.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize they're that big.
Yeah, they're big. They're very, very conspicuous. There's nothing else that really looks like these. I'd say do a Google search for spotted lanternfly, because they're one of the coolest looking insects I've ever seen. Like, neon pinks, polka dots and dashes on the wings. But what they do is they've got a mouth part kind of like a mosquito, and they suck fluid out of plants. And then they basically drink so much fluid that there's just this sticky mess that gets everywhere. So I've seen photographs from out east of tree trunks that are just covered in like sticky sap-like material. And then you get a fungal growth that just this black sooty mold grows on that. And it's kind of a gross looking situation to have this. So they can pop up in very, very large numbers. And then they also have concern for the agricultural sector, because they can feed on things like fruit trees, but also grapes seem to be one of their favorite plants. So the wine industry here in Wisconsin, we definitely have some concerns for that. They've been documented to feed on, I think it's over 100 or so different types of plants. So this is something that's coming our way and is going to be a headache for some parts of the state. Some good news, though. So there was a modeling study a couple years ago in Wisconsin. Parts of the state are going to be cold enough that they're probably never going to be an issue for us, at least based on current climate trends. But like southeastern Wisconsin, they're probably going to have some good habitat there. About half the state is kind of iffy habitat. We don't know for sure. They may do okay, but probably not great for them. But if you go south of us, like Illinois, Indiana, really good habitat there based on climate variables in the model. So it's something that's coming our way, and we'll have to see it probably in the next couple of years.
Well, because right now there's state officials from New York and Pennsylvania are saying it's your civic duty to kill these things. And so if they do show up in Wisconsin, like we said in the last segment, please do not do a blowtorch. But what? Because I've always heard the stereotype of with cockroaches, don't squish a cockroach if you're going to kill it because it could have eggs in it, and so then they still spread. So when you are, if the spotted lanternfly comes to Wisconsin, how are you supposed to kill it?
In a case like this, squishing would actually be fine.
Okay.
I would say the most important thing is if you squish it or if you catch it, let someone like myself know, or someone at Department of Ag know, so that we can actually keep track of it and figure out where it is so that we can take some appropriate action.
And PJ, it feels like to me that insects are adapting to become more attractive, trying to trick us, because the emerald ash borer is the really copper looking one, right? That's very green and kind of sparkly in the sunshine. Or am I thinking there's a different kind of beetle? I mean, these are kind of good looking bugs. And I feel like they're trying to lull us into a false sense of security because they're pretty.
Well, emerald ash borer actually is rather pretty. And it's, you know, you get these invasive insects and they look really cool and really pretty, but then they do really bad stuff. But that is an interesting point, Jane, that they can be beautiful. In terms of emerald ash borer, they're usually just this coppery greenish color, though. There's another common one called the Japanese beetle, also a non-native species, invasive species, that has coppery brown on the wing covers, very common during the summer months, all over your garden and landscape plants.
All right, so final question then. As Wisconsin's bug guy, what's your favorite bug?
Oh, my favorite bug. So my favorite insect is actually one I have never seen live in its native habitat. This is a creature called an ice crawler. To find them, you have to go out west, like up in the mountains, 8,000-10,000 feet elevation. They live on the snow. And they are so specialized at what they do. If you were to catch one and hold it in your hands, it would die. It would be too warm for it. They need it to be right about 32 degrees or so. There's some of these on like Mount Lawson in California. I've climbed up there looking for them. They come out at night. Basically, in the mountains, there's insects that get blown in on the wind, deposit on the snow. These things come out and scavenge on them at night. So really obscure things. But in my department, actually a couple floors above me, one of my colleagues, Sean Scoville, is a world expert on these. He had some live in a walk-in freezer at one point. So I got to see one live, but it was just in a refrigerator and not in its native habitat. But that's my favorite insect by far.
That sounds very interesting. That's very cool. All right. Well, where can people find you and your work?
Well, I'm on Twitter as Wisconsin Bug Guy at WI Bug Guy. Otherwise, if you hop online and just do a Google search for Wisconsin Insect Diagnostic Lab, I've got a website. I've got a blog in there. I post about once a month as well on some sort of insect related topic for Wisconsin. And so those would be some great ways to track me down.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, PJ. I'm sure as soon as we have some kind of bug thing, we're going to bring you back so you can explain it to us. But PJ Leash is the Wisconsin Bug Guy, who is an entomologist and director of the University of Wisconsin Insect Diagnostic Lab. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. And now it's going to be Packers Pundit Playback. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Real quiet.